again, I'm Drew Wilder. It is all about business. Business talk, straight talk. We talk with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford every Saturday and Sunday at this time. And Stan has been helping businesses throughout Connecticut for 50 years, independently owned and operated, advising companies to become more solvent while raising their profit margins in areas like taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. And Stan, welcome to It's Your Business.
Hey, how are you, Drew?
Good, and Happy New Year.
And same to you.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm pointing to each listener individually, but that may take more than our 30 minutes of time, so I won't continue with that. But speaking of New Year's, being New Year's Eve, so another year has gone by, and you had 50 of these with being in business 50 years. How would you compare this year, the business climate, with years in the past?
Well, I think this year is just one more of a very difficult year. I mean, it went back to the period of COVID. We're still in the midst of that period. Yep. We're not through it. They say the epidemic is over, but I don't know how much of that you believe when you hear about what's going on with China and the number of COVID cases and the limited travel that the people have. So, you know, today for business, just being in business is like going to fight alligators every single day. Yeah. And one of the interesting aspects that I find about all this is that, you know, history just repeats itself. You know, we've talked about the Ukrainian-Russian conflict, yep. You know, mm-hmm. or the Crimean mm-hmm. War. Well, you know, we went through a period of COVID, and very few people realized that the Black Death back from the 1300s was actually caused by the Mongolians bringing corpses to the port city of Kaffa in the Black Sea, mm-hmm. and they planted corpses all around the city in an effort to create problems, create right. disease.
Right.
And the disease got out of control, and it spread and spread and went around all of Europe as Black Death. But that's how it started. So was it in the Wuhan, you know, area, or was it due to, you know, scientific experiment, or was it due to a dead owl? Who? Yeah. I mean, nobody knows.
And we'll probably never know.
No. Yeah. So that brings us to, you know, really what's going on with our, you know, our society today. And as I said, you know, recently, I mean, I just don't understand the whole supply chain process today, why there's no cars on parking lots. But, you know, over the holidays, you and I talked about this. I watched a great movie, and it was called All Quiet on the Western Front.
Fantastic movie, and the remake is very good.
It was very good. It was a deeply impactful movie. Yeah. And I had a couple of discoveries after watching that movie,
okay.
if you will.
Okay.
Metamorphosis. One is I understood how Hitler came to power, because at the end of World War I, which is known as the Great War, At the time of the armistice, which was on the 11th day of the 11th month at 11 o'clock, terms of the ceasefire were so onerous on Germany that they went into a severe depression. And when Hitler came along, he promised them brighter days. And so that right. came about. Yeah. But the second and very important thing that I learned was that we're barbarians. We still are barbarians. You know, if you take a look at today, all those innocent people dying in Ukraine, it's wrong. We look at what's going on in our own society with all the homeless. We're sending so much money all over the world, but we're not taking care of our own vets,
right.
our own people. It's just we seem to have had a very low regard for human life.
It is incredible. I mean, I'm always like amazed that a Putin could come to power in a time, 2022, soon to be 2023 in a day, and or that someone like that would exist, that would see no value for life, just his mission is bigger than human life, that's his country, he's thinking, and he'll do whatever it takes, take it over. You would have thought that would have been in the past, but Like you said, history repeats itself.
Right, and the evolution of so many items. You frequently ask me, well, what do you think the product is of the future? And nobody really knows. I mean, the example, you know, the surfboard was born in the Hawaiian Islands of Polynesia, and it was a sign of royalty. The average surfboard was 16 feet long, made of wood.
Hmm.
But it was the royalty that had these. And when Captain Cook arrived in Hawaii, he was awed by these surfboards. Well, fast forward, 100 years, and there are certain people that took the surfboard concept and started to work it. They cut it from 16 feet to 8 feet, and they brought it to California. And in the 1950s, when all these surfers are hanging around with nothing to do because there was no good waves, somebody came up with the idea. They took a broken surfboard, cut it up, and put some wheels on it. And in his spare time, he started skating. Well, that was the birth of skateboarding.
Huh.
And so today, skateboarding is a big business, and it all depends on the wheels and the skateboard, and it just goes to show how something that started off 200, 300 years ago as a surfboard has now grown into a skateboard. And that's how entrepreneurs develop things.
Right. You take something and make it better. You think about how cell phones began. They began this big thing, this big, I remember seeing a car in New York City back 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago. I didn't know what it was, but it was a huge cell phone. Now it's like tiny. Soon it'll be embedded in the brain. But I mean, just I would think technology is the biggest change this year and past recent years that have affected consumers and business. I guess if something affects the consumer, it's going to affect business. I think I was telling you before, just a voice command on my phone, speaking of technology. I mean, I'd be in the car, and I still do it, using voice command, press the button, bang, and you dictate the message. And then all of a sudden, a client calls me and says, do you realize what you just wrote on your message? So I said, well, yeah, I wrote a message about meeting with our meeting tomorrow. And no, you didn't read the end of it. So I'm thinking, what did I say at the end of it? So I'm thinking, well, I always end my messages with good luck. So, of course, voice command messed up the word luck. And I'm wondering how many times I did that. But and we're going to do a show about people being more sensitive and how that affects business owners and business people and the consumer. But talk about, I mean, if you said that in a voice command to a customer, not that it would be a voice command, but or if you put a word in, you'd have 20 people running for the exit doors, probably never coming back. But do you think technology has been the biggest obstacle that businesses have had to deal with recently, past few years, let alone this year?
Technology is a double-edged sword. I remember in the 1970s, I had a phone in my car, and it was a big unit the size of a suitcase in my trunk. And it was a radio telephone, so I'd pick up the phone in my car, and I would have to talk to an operator who said, would you please call Drew Wilder at 222-222-422?
Right.
And they would put me through, and it was a party system, party call, so everybody could listen in on the conversation if they wanted to.
Right. You wonder if those operators exist anymore. If you dial 411, I assume someone answers. You don't do that anymore. You just click it on your cell phone with the name of the business or the name of the person.
Well,
and everything's out there.
That's a good question. But I think, Drew, I think we got to get down to some serious business here today.
Yeah.
To start of the new year.
So what?
We have new industries, new businesses. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. How much do you think the average American woman spends on beauty products in their lifetime?
In their lifetime?
In their lifetime.
Are they related to my daughter, to me? It's probably, I won't go that low.
How much would the average American woman spend on beauty products? The reason I'm asking this question.
Okay, well, let's say age, 18, 17 to 75, 85. Probably less now because life expectancy just went down again. But so what? 60 years, 65 years times $200-$300 a year. What's that? How good is my math? $60,000.
Okay, the answer is $15,000.
Oh, so it's less than I would have thought.
So
people aren't as vain as I thought.
The numbers that I came up with were about $3,700 on mascara.
Okay.
$2,000 on eyeshadow, and $1,800 on lipstick, and then all the rest is miscellaneous.
Okay.
So
does not include like hairdos and hair hairstyle. Okay, doesn't include hairstyling.
But so we look at that and we say, okay, so I'm in business. I want to go into a business. You know, what kind of marketplace is there for the business? So, for example, you know, people use Botox. Well, Botox can create botulism because of what it comes from bacteria,
right?
What they put into their system, you know, or it could be that, you know, 100 years ago, if you had a suntan, that was a sign that you were part of the working class.
Huh.
And then Chanel came out with Coco Chanel, which created a rub-on suntan.
Yep.
Well, when that occurred in the 1920s, that signaled the start of a tan being a sign of leisure.
Ah, did not know that.
A sign of leisure time. So products can change the whole mood of the of an industry,
right?
Of what people buy. I mean, every time you look on TV at the commercials, they're trying to sell you something.
Yep.
I saw one yesterday. You know, women used to wear corsets back in the 1800s. Well, now they're advertising a corset that you can wear, but it's not a corset. It's really a you know, a tummy tucker.
Yep. Yep.
If you will. So. Everything goes in cycles, and along the way, we get something new and interesting that really does change the world, like the iPhone, the Apple phone,
right?
Computer. So when you ask me the question about technology, technology is here to stay unless we have a, you know, a bomb go off somewhere that knocks out the electronic world that we know,
right?
But, you know, magnetic pulse. But I think that it's here to stay. How it will change, boy, we don't know. You know, when women started having cesareans, they had huge incisions.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they have a little tiny incision.
Right.
I mean, the world changes so much. And 100 years from now, people may look back at what we how we treat matters, you know, whether it be cancer or surgery, and they may think we're pretty primitive.
Right, right. But most inventions and most ways business survive and consumers survive on things that change in the world this year, past years, whatever, evolve from something from before it. Kind of like the internet, talking about technology. That was a government used the internet before people.
Well, take a look at where we're at today. When for many years, it was all analog.
Right.
So all communications was analog. Telephone, fax machines, the copiers.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's all digital.
Right.
And it's completely changed how everything can be done. Take a look at a camera. So when you used to develop pictures, you'd have, you know, stacks and stacks, and it'd take you hours and hours.
Right.
Now it just goes into a computer, and it gets changed and goes from there.
And everything's quick like that. I mean, every people expect so much more in so much less time. And that's something I think a business, I would think everyone running a business would have to consider and take into account is people are more impatient today. What people would wait 15, 10 minutes, they'll now wait, what, half the time. I mean, I was on hold yesterday. I gave up and hung up when I heard the electricity prices 2023 are going to be 24 cents per kilowatt hour. I was paying 6 cents a year ago. And I signed up with another company for 13.5 cents. And I just want to make sure that I'm really getting switched because I haven't heard anything since I made this thing online and did that back in the late October. But I mean, I actually held on the phone for about 20 minutes and then I just hung up. So,
but you know, you raise a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I had to call the bank the other day. I thought somebody had put a charge on my credit card, my debit card, that it wasn't mine. So I called, they put me on hold, and I hung up after 20 minutes.
Yeah, so you had 20, maybe that's the magic number.
Well, you know, but I think as we go more towards technology, I find that some things become much harder.
Right.
To get a human being on the phone, or to get somebody who speaks English on the phone.
Right, exactly.
I can tell you, certain credit card companies, you call them, you're going to get another country, and you can't understand.
No, they have no idea.
No clue. And the customer service, I think the customer service has gotten worse since we've gone the technology route. And most importantly, which I would bring up today, is I don't think people want to work. I am so totally convinced people do not want to work, especially in Connecticut, because the husband and wife can collect over $80,000 in unemployment benefits, so they don't want to work. People don't want to work.
And that's part of the problem of holding on for eternity. That people aren't either working from home or they're not there. Well, I was holding on for 20 minutes. I went on the chat and I waited 7 or 8 minutes. And then I sent in the message, hello, anyone home? And then I decided I'm just going to go do my thing. And I came back 45 minutes later figuring maybe I just lost. Maybe the person just, the bot or whatever just responded and I missed it. And now I'm going to have to do it again. But no one ever, I don't think there was anyone there. So technology has made things so much more complicated when it was supposed to have the opposite result, make things simpler. There was no one on the other side of this chat. So there's probably someone somewhere and that probably is sitting in front of a computer. They're probably still sitting there. This was yesterday.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You go into some of these banks and, you know, they treat you like, you know, there would be four people working behind the counter. One person helping the customers, and you wait 20-minute rule, right? And nobody wants to help you. But then, you know, there's a new bank to the area. They're huge all over the United States.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you walk in, they have greeters.
Wow.
And they make you feel important.
Wow.
I mean, it's like the old Walmart. You know, they walk in, they used to have greeters, or they have greeters, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people get it and some people don't. Everybody wants to be treated nicely.
Right.
But, you know, I think, Drew, really, there's one thing I really want to cover in today's show.
Okay, and we're talking again with Stan Sadlak, Steeplechase Advisors. It's your business talk, straight talk. We do it every weekend at this time, and we'll tell you at the end of the show how you can get a no-fee consultation with Stan. Go ahead.
So if you're a business owner, which is most of the people that listen to us,
right.
There's really something you need to do this time of the year.
Okay, and what's that?
There's really 4 points, and we'll start with those.
Okay.
You need to schedule some quiet times,
mm-hmm.
quiet time for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this in the shop or the office. Okay, mm-hmm. You got to go mm-hmm. someplace.
Okay.
You got to sit there and think. Take a piece of paper and a pencil or a notepad better. And first question you got to write down for yourself is mm-hmm. planning for me.
Mm-hmm.
As the owner of this business, what do I want to do this year in my business?
Huh.
What type of planning do I want? Do I have any objectives for this year? What do I want this year?
Personally or in the business?
Personally.
Oh, personally. Yeah. Okay. Probably spend less time in the business.
We'll get to that. But it's interrelated with the business, because any business owner does not work from, you know, 8 to 5.
Right.
They work, you know, 7/24, 24 hours a day.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what do you want to do for yourself? Okay. Number two is, how do I create and preserve the value of the business?
Hmm.
Okay. What is it that I am doing that makes me successful in business today?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I preserve that? And that is usually interrelated to the employees.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need? Who are my good employees?
Mm-hmm.
How do my employees feel about the business?
Mm-hmm.
How do I keep my employees? Or how do I get rid of the people that I'm just getting nowhere with?
Right.
But it's really an evaluation of all of the people. I'd love the business owner to sit down with each of his people for 5 minutes
mm-hmm.
somewhere mm-hmm. In the operation, just say, so how would you describe your position?
Hmm.
What do you do?
What do I do?
What do you do?
I help businesses increase their sales with marketing and advertising programs and ideas that are going to motivate people to want to respond.
And that's what you would tell your employer?
That's what I would tell my employer if he asked me that.
You're not going to tell him you don't like his marketing program?
I would not tell him that. Well, will people be honest?
Well, that's what you want to get to.
I mean, if
they've been with you for a while, I mean, you should have.
Yeah, I mean, if you're working for someone for a long, long period of time, I would think you would, but you got to delicately say it. I mean, there are obviously things I would say that could be improved.
Well, there's an important reason for asking that question,
okay,
which leads to my third issue that you, Mr. Businessman, mm-hmm, have to think about, and that is, how do you do succession planning? What is your business succession plan? Most people have none.
Very few have a succession plan.
They need to, because if they want to pass the business along, if they want to transfer the ownership, mm-hmm, I mean, they're going to need to have good employees.
Right.
They're going to need to have a good plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
But that ties into another issue. Every business owner has a dream not to be there 24/7.
Right.
Pick up his cell phone in the morning and say, oh, my God.
Right.
What's my problem today?
Right. Okay. Putting out fires all day. Right. They don't want that. That's
right.
Probably number one or up there on the list.
So the way you back into solving that problem is to look at the business succession planning. Because in order for the business to pass on, to transfer the ownership, to sell it, to pass it to family members, is to make sure it can run itself.
Right.
Have good people to run it.
Right.
So the fourth area that we really need to address is making sure that my personal and my family needs are being met,
mm-hmm,
if
mm-hmm,
I'm the business owner. Mm-hmm.
And do people even look at that?
No.
Right, because they're so involved with the business, they don't look the forest for the trees to look at that. But
They need to. They have to look at it. I mean, really, where am I going with this business? I have one guy, very successful business, okay? Mm. He hasn't taken a paycheck out of it in 10 years. And
really?
It's because he can't.
10 years? So why is he still doing it?
You know, that's the million-dollar question you have to ask.
Why, hopes and
why
dreams.
He does. He has great dreams, great thoughts. He's got a great business, great product. But it does very well to support the people that are working there.
Yeah.
But not him. He's at the bottom, you know. And what's so difficult many times in working with employees is there's a fine balance between having your employees, mm-hmm, and having them work for you, but do it in such a sensitive way that you're not working for them.
Right, right. But that's a very rare situation. Most people, how long do people give it? The average business owner gives it how long? Without taking a paycheck. I know a lot of business owners don't take a paycheck because they're living on the edge.
But, because their wife makes a lot of money.
Or their wife makes, I was going to say, how do they live?
Right.
But they probably go, what?
They play in the sandbox.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. You can't play in the sandbox. You have to, where am I going with all this? Do I like to just, if I'm a mechanic, do I like to tinker on my car? Or is there a reason I'm building this car for whatever purpose?
Right. But people are just impatient. I'm just thinking about a client I have. I think they're very successful. They've been in business for 13, 14 months. We did something with them that packed the place in, had 450, 500 people in there. And their response was, they were happy about that, very happy. There's no way they couldn't have been. They probably made 15 to 20 times the sales in 3 hours than they ever would have been. But their response was, we really thought we'd be ahead of where we are at this point. They were being, it just sounded like very impatient. I said, well, you've only been in business for just over a year. They thought that was a long time. Well, we certainly thought that we'd be way ahead of where we are right now. I said, are you growing like every month in the year plus 1-2 months that you've been in business? Yeah, but we still thought we'd be ahead. So maybe that's part of the impatience people want.
You're not a business person until you've been through a bad time.
Yeah.
You know, when you have successes like that, you have that immortal feeling But it's a person that can navigate through bad times as well as good times. That's really a hardened business person.
Right, right.
And you know, making those transitions become difficult. So, you know, to go into a business and then all of a sudden have interest rates go up to 19%.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, or right. Or to have a car dealership and you can't get cars to sell. I mean, you got to go find used cars. You got to, you know, upgrade your service. You have to roll with the punches right. to make you better.
Right.
But until you go through difficult times, we're going to enter difficult times now. I will raise this point for all the business people out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we have been through a major bull run for the last 25 years. We've had a couple of downturns, so in the real estate housing market, but not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look at the stock market. If you bought most stocks and you bought them 10 years ago, you're up way, way up, not even like 100%. You're up above that. I mean, things have, of course, a lot of stuff has come down 40, 50% with technology this year. But yeah, fascinating. I mean, there's not a lot of time. We got a few hours left in 2022. But on our next show, we're going to talk about kind of a continuation with the new year, what you can do to make sure you're on the right track before it's too late and it's 2024. Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford, helping businesses for 5 decades, and it's your business. And Business Talk, Straight Talk, we do it every weekend at this time. And Stan helps with every asset of the business, facet of the business: taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, as we were just talking about. And we'll have to do a whole show on that. Also, a show coming up soon on personnel problems, or even personnel problems, as I say. Stan, now you're offering a no-fee consultation?
If anybody is interested in learning more about how to take care of their business, I'm happy to talk to them, and there's no charge for the initial
wow.
consultation.
So there's no cost at all? It sounds like a no-brainer, but there's a lot of what we're talking about today just is about sorting things out in quiet time, and obviously it makes sense to have a second opinion, someone that can be objective, that's not involved every day in your business. Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, and you can call him at 860-524-3408, 860-524-3408. He doesn't get back to you today, because as past few weeks, several people call at once. He'll get back to you on Monday. Stan, thanks so much. Fascinating, and we'll see you next year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. And thanks for listening. I'm Drew Wilder. Thanks so much, and have a great, happy, healthy New Year.